I think, again, this will be our challenge. As much as we like Hapawati and Smith and Irwin, they've all shown that they've been great in attack. I think they're going to have their hands full on Thursday night. I think that's where the ball will go all night. Irwin has been coming out of the line a bit too much, or he steps back. He's not quite got the confidence, or he didn't have the confidence. I think that's improved. But to me, Sam, I think that is where this game will fall, will just be our defensive right edge against their left edge prowess.
There's been a couple of occasions, and Leeds and Hawke are typical of this, is that we let the opposition halfbacks run in across the line without shutting them down and taking them out. And Lachlan Miller's back, and he's been their most prolific and dangerous player, I think.
Hello, welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London. So, as ex-Culturth resident Andy Burnham edges closer to number 10, where are my two cabinet podcasters? Firstly, he carries his statistics around in a battered old Primrose and Blue ministerial box. Yes, ready to deliver yet another budget of facts and figures. He's the Chancellor of the What Bevan Exchequer. It's Sam Sankey.
If I'm Chancellor, we're broke.
And also, perhaps not quite cabinet material, but standing in the next North Warrington by-election for the monster-raving Loonoo Party, yes, clutching his withered black rod and banging on the doors of the RFL, has Dennis Waywell.
All right.
Is it Dennis Waywell tonight, or is it Wasim Akram?
For the listener, I've been out in the sun and I immediately turn like a fast bowler. So, yeah. That's me. Andy Burnham knocked on my door once in Lee. Have
I
I ever told you
thought he
this?
did. Yeah, what happened? So he knocks on your door. I'm sure you were pleasant and welcoming to him, like you are to everyone, aren't you, Dennis? So what happened?
Yeah, and I had a thought about this the other day because I am very pleasant nowadays, but I believe I did tell him to fuck off, and I don't know if that was me, but yeah, we didn't exchange pleasantries, put it that way.
When I was back in Warrington the other year, just before my dad died, we were all at the dinner table, and there was a knock at the door, and my daughter went to answer it. It was the local Tory MP, the current, whoever he was, can't remember. I said, "Dad, be nice to him." And I heard him just go to the door, and he went, "Fuck off," and shut the door in his face. That was it. So
Oh, so there you go. It happened south of the river as well. Bloody
my daughter couldn't believe it. Came down and
hell.
sat down. That was it.
That
So
was
that was.
granddad. Yeah. You got any political anecdotes, Sam?
Not along those lines, no.
No, good.
Oh, right.
Excellent.
Okay.
Oh,
Right.
dear. Now, I know Sam's very keen to watch Mbappe play, so should we just crack on? Is that what we should do here? I mean, we've
Yes.
already
Yes,
moved
I
the
think
podcast.
so.
Has Dennis realised why we've moved the
Yes, I'd said last week,
podcast?
didn't I? I knew you'd move it for this shite. And like, I heard Sam talking about he wants to go and watch these players score goals. It sounded like you were talking a foreign language. I have no idea who you're on about.
He'd be good on the wing, wouldn't he? He'd be good on the wing for us. Or fullback. Yeah. The review of the Leeds game. The team was Thewlis, Ashton, Lindop, Smith, Hopewarty. In the halves, we had Hayes and Irwin. Front row, Thomas, Walker and Byrne. Back three were Harrison, Bentley and Curry. Interchange bench was Powell, Sipley, Crowther and Tanganawa.
Walker, we're looking for the inside ball. He's kept a hold of it, and I think that Pulis was tackled on suspicion there,
yeah,
and
you're
so
right.
It's a penalty for Warrington. But Leeds are getting closer here, a couple of plays to go. Croft again switches it back to Miller. Miller puts the kick in, it's being chased by Hanley. Can he catch it? Has he bounced it? And in the end, will it be Michael Seaver's try? Watkins back to Connor. They're searching left again. Of course they would. Hanley makes the break this time. He's got Seba with him on that left-hand side. Dulis winds them up, puts it back, and Brodie Croft will squeeze between the two run recovery defenders to get the ball down. This will be the last. Connor advanced upon, kicks away. Ball comes down in Lee's hands. Oh my goodness! My goodness, Harry Newman coming from nowhere. And Leeds are right on the point of attack again as Lockie Miller comes in. Miss out pass, and Hankinson will take it with glee and cross for another. O'Connor stands. Croft wants the ball in his hands. He gets it now. Looking to create something. Connor on this side. Mike Aceva with a ball over the top. And he just bulldozes his way over the line. Popped back, and it's to Sebo again, who showed the outside. It's a hat-trick. Yet another hat-trick from Mike Aceva. Points to 2. Failing to do so at home for the first time this season here, Warrington. Unless they can find a way here, and they have found a way here, have they? Little inside, and then out again from Matty Ashton.
Final score, Warrington 6, Leeds 34. There was a try for Ashton. Irwin did kick a penalty goal. Referee was the worst of the Moors in Liam, and attendance was 10,083. Lots of empty seats watching it on the box. What have we got? What have we got? Sam, do you want to start?
Yes. Yeah, because...
You were there.
I think... Yes, I was there. I think... I feel this showed the gap. We spoke last week, or you spoke last week, but was there now only four who could win it? And perhaps that should be, is there really only three who can win it? And are we aiming to be the best of the rest?
Yes.
And the reason I say that is I actually thought we started quite well. Leeds were bright, Leeds were strong, but we matched them. But there was a big difference between the Leeds that we were playing and the speed of St. Helens the week before. And the difference was speed. Everything Leeds did was just that bit quicker in both attack and defence compared to Saints the week before. And in particular, I noticed over the last few weeks, we've developed this play where Ben Curry goes towards the line, takes it three or four steps and then passes it out to a half either side. Well, they had Brodie Croft jumping out the line on one side and they had Connor jumping out the line on the other to cut off that pass and push Curry into the defence, not allow us to get moving either side. And after just 10 minutes, we started to panic that we couldn't do that and throw out silly passes. I think it was about the 11th minute. They intercepted, they came down the other line and almost scored with Sivo in the corner. It was a good tackle in the end. But that set the tone for the remaining 65 minutes or so, that that little passage of play.
Have you ever watched the show 24?
24 hours. Taking every minute.
Is this in real time, this?
Yes.
So in the second minute, what happened then?
Ultimately, that first bit, I know you're taking the piss, but that bit showed the difference. They were a little quicker in everything they did.
The gap, was that
yes.
Is that a metaphorical gap, or is the gap between Byrne and Hupperwarty, Smith and Hupperwarty, you're referring to
Smith
that
and Hupperwarty.
because that was a big gap.
Yes.
I've just looked up famous gaps while you've been talking there. There's the Cumberland Gap, which is an historic pass between the over in America. There's the Gap, just the Gap. It's a dramatic ocean cliff lookout. Oh, it's in Sydney, just off the Sydney Heads. There's the Ming's Gap, a well-known South Island mountain pass. The Khyber Pass, not really a gap.
Not really a gap, no.
No.
You've not mentioned Watford there.
Watford Gap, was it the Watford Gap?
Yeah. That AI, isn't it? Shit. Absolute shit.
Googled it and that was it. That's famous gaps. Right.
I mean, I know Sam's gone on for a bit, but the only thing I've written down at the moment, I probably have to write something else now. Pitch looked in excellent condition.
Oh, I did think that's a positive, isn't it?
It is, yeah. No hosepipe ban there, I don't imagine. It's lovely and green. So, compliments to the groundsman.
Right. Oh, dear. Well, I didn't really see it, boys, because I had a very, very sick Labrador who had to be rushed to the emergency vets. So I'd been up with her from 3 a.m. Game came on. One of the early signs of the illness was she didn't eat her dinner, which I thought was ironic because Warrington played like a dog's dinner, didn't they? So that was it. Of course, we've summed up the all this already in the intro leading into the podcast where Dennis and I got it absolutely spot on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was frightening. There he was running across the field, no one laying a finger on him. And that right edge, oh my goodness.
What happened?
All it took was a team that could slightly delay a ball, have a second runner, well coached, a little bit of experience, and we just fell apart. I mean, it was, I think, as you say, Sam, from what I saw of that game, there's only three teams that are going to win this Super League, and it's not one of them is not Warrington.
Oh, you're all so negative.
We also talked about, someone said to me in the week, they said, I heard your podcast and Sam talking about the size of players. He said, it's only because they got fictitious scales and rulers at Warrington. And I agree. Like, if you look at the size of our pack, it's tiny. The only one who looks like he's got any size is Sipley. And he's turning out to be a waste of space. He's injured again.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's been a bum bye. But there's just no size in that pack at all. It's absolutely men against boys, and it was embarrassing. It was just Leeds went through the motions. They were chuckling away in the stand. It was.
Did you not see that bit where we had a penalty and the Leeds players were in a huddle? And I was thinking, oh well, actually, if you take the penalty now and get Ashton to run at the corner, you could have kicked to him for a try,
right?
The players are just, Leeds players have got in a huddle. And then I noticed Warrington doing it in the second half. Guarantee somebody's going to pick up on this and just put a kick in across to the winger and then run it in for 6 points.
If you go down through the team, Bentley, I'm going to give him a tick. Curry, tick. Walker, tick. I'll give Crowther a tick. He's trying. Harrison, Hayes, forget it. Absolutely. All he does is pass a ball. Absolutely no point to him at all.
He got a 40-20, didn't he?
Is Byrne just doing the hard yards? Is that what he does? Does he just take up the first? Is that what he's doing? Because he doesn't make any meters. He made 32 meters. So unless he's the one that's bracing himself and taking up the first hit, I'm not quite sure what Byrne's doing. Tanganawa has fallen off a cliff. Irwin, tick. Lindop, tick. Hopewate, tick. Powell, what is the point? Josh Smith, tick. Ashton, at the moment, unfortunately. Sipley, forget it. And Thulis. It's the pack. There's just no pack.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot to take in, isn't it, when you didn't really watch the match?
I saw this when the dog was a puppy. It's 12 now.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
What's triggered you today?
Triggered me is my dog nearly died. My dog has been so ill, it's cost me an absolute... I mean, you think $750 I lost on the rugby the other week was anything to go by? Jesus, wait till you get a vet bill. So I'm pissed off with it. I'm sick of listening to the same shit every year. And then I couldn't even bear listening to it about three people sent me a message saying, have you listened to Fitzpatrick on that whatever show he was on? You know, one of the YouTube. And I was just like, oh, for fucking hell's sake. What's the point?
Looking at the stats then, Rob, I see that we've usual on the, what do you call it, post-contact meters gained 2.48 and they were 2.72. So
yeah, yeah.
The pack is the thing, isn't it? I think that's sticking out.
You what have I don't circled understand this week. We've got Chambers and Burgess, who were both forwards, yet can't recruit.
Well,
the silence says it all.
You put a circle around missed tackles as well.
Oh, that's just
your circle of the week.
My circle of the week was missed tackles. 40 missed tackles.
Mm.
40 missed tackles. Mm. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the Leeds-Wigan final because they're the only two teams in the competition who have decent packs. We said last week, I think it was Dave Birch on the What Bevan Group last week, after the game he wrote, how shit are St Helens? And I couldn't agree more.
Yes.
I could not agree more.
Yeah, they struggled as well against Huddersfield.
They struggled to beat Huddersfield, yeah.
They had a little bit of a whimper against a few sides a few weeks ago. They're a bang average side. They're full of kids. We went there and won, and we think all of a sudden we're going to...
Jesus. Did I tell you I went into a crop circle today? And I met this shaman in the middle of the crop circle. Mm. I didn't ask him whether Warrington would win the season.
Don't want to waste your question, really, do you?
No, I don't. And I didn't know if I had a question. Apparently, he's going to the symposium in Glastonbury. And he said, "Oh, well, you should go there and we'll meet." And I was like, "All right." He could do. He only had a pair of shorts on, a pair of sandals, and a dog. And a staff.
Did he have a staff?
Yes, he had a staff as well, and we were stood in the middle of this crop circle, and I said, "Oh, do you want me to put my drone up?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah. He goes, "Are you on Facebook?" I went, "No, I don't do any social media and stuff." And then I said, "Pity you haven't got a phone." And then he pulls out a phone, so he's a shaman with a phone.
Shaman, and I said,
"Oh, here we go. I'll airdrop it to you." And I airdropped it to him, and he was happy as pie.
Oh, you're not going to get rid of him. You're never going to get rid of him now.
He's from Belgium, and he's going to be here for a month knocking about.
He'll be staying at your house by tomorrow.
No, I was going to offer him, like, because he's in this like really gypsy-looking camper van.
Mrs. Whale would have been delighted when he came home.
Yeah, well, he could have done the garden.
With his staff.
Make him do jobs.
Staff infection by the time he leaves.
Yeah. Anyway, that just sort of takes you, just calm you down a little. Stop thinking of the game.
So having watched our lack of forwards, you decided to go and seek alternative therapy to see if you could magic up a pack for us.
I took my dowsing rods. I didn't really feel anything. I felt it was man-made. I did actually break that to the shaman. I said, I think this is man-made. I'm looking at the nodes on the cone. Nobody will get this, will they? Unless anybody's out there.
Well,
oh, by the way, Rob,
I'm
well
more
done.
Interested in the Leeds match.
Yeah. Thanks for playing Angers de Poitrine last week.
Saw them on Jules Holland, actually.
Yes.
Jules Holland yesterday. And I turned it on for Mrs. London. I said, "Oh, I think we played out with this last week." I think the song was 5 minutes. We got 2 minutes in and that was it. We fast forward.
You know, no attention span. No wonder you can't watch 80 minutes.
Oh, we forgot something. We forgot something. You just mentioned Mrs. London. Can we afford her anymore in doing our obituaries?
Yeah. We can't mention what she's been up to because I can give no reference whatsoever. She can't leave a media trail back to me. Otherwise, her career's finished. She's made that quite clear yesterday.
That's excellent. Anybody in security and security measures and levels of like signing NDAs understands exactly what that means.
She said, "Don't even think about it."
Have I just made a faux pas there? Have I?
It's all cut. All on the floor.
Oh, dear. My daughter's been to the church today, Sam. She's been hanging out with the old ladies.
She was caring the community today, wasn't she?
She was, yeah. She had a lovely time, apparently. She got a lovely time. So she said there was cake on offer.
Cake.
Is it your cake? Is it your cake?
No. No, it wasn't my cake today. My cake's tomorrow.
She sent me a nice picture of all the old ladies together. Sitting around a table. And I have to say, they look more organised than the Warrington pack. I was saying.
A few of them carrying a bit more weight than the Warrington pack and half from what I saw.
Oh dear. Come on, Sam. Fine as a positive. Said what a waste of space. I'm already getting ready for year 56. Where are we going with this? Come on.
Find as a positive. I would say the positives, and they're not one of them's pack. Positive still, Thomas.
Yes, yes. Yes. I'm glad you mentioned Thomas.
Positive still Thomas. Positive was Lindop getting some minutes under his belt, but as a performance, disappointing.
Mm.
Actually, Thomas, I think he deserves player of the month.
Yes. We happy yes, we'll go with that.
We go with that. Yeah. There we are. Luke Thomas.
Did we do one for May?
No, we didn't. No, we missed May. Mm.
What about March?
I don't think we did March either. It's not really been a
just February.
Is this a new thing, player of the month?
Yeah.
Are we starting it?
Yeah. We'll be and player of the month will be back in September. So
hey, oh, by the way, you know it's Henley Regatta next week, so I'm presuming next week you're going to give us your status of what the season looks like. Is that right, Rob?
Yeah, aren't we doing Henley Regatta today with the sitcom?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I'm just ahead of time. It's a 4-day event, so you know it does go on for a while.
Right. Well, let's. Dennis is going to come on, obviously, to Sam Burgess in tackle gags, but we'll have a quick listen to his soundbite now.
Sam, before this one, you referenced the performance and you wanted to see a good performance. What did you make of it?
Yeah, parts of it were tough to watch. I thought we lost three moments in the first half. They had a great, a bit of a trick play, scored points early, and then Ash Hanley beat Josh Smith to score the other try, and then Harry Newman outcompeted Josh in a, you know, so those are the 16 points in the first half. And other than that, you know, I thought parts of our game were okay, but just we missed some big moments, which we've been pretty good at. So, you know, that's the way it goes against good teams. In the second half, they made us pay. They were just a far greater side. They played very expansive and, you know, a lot of the ball stuck for them and we struggled to control it, you know. So I'm actually grateful the scoreline stayed as it is because we know they can post points. And, yeah, I thought they were very, very good tonight and we just missed the mark a little bit.
To go from such a wonderful performance last week to, I suppose, tonight, is it a little frustrating?
No, I'm OK. We'll learn a lot tonight, I think, especially our young halves will learn a lot. We had a bit of field position early, but we looked a little bit flustered early and then, you know, the scoreboard didn't help us. So, you know, we'll learn something out of it for sure. I'm not frustrated because we had a lot of effort, believe it or not. There's a lot of effort there. Just, I say, a few moments in the first half and then a bit of scoreboard pressure and Leeds are a team that can really make you pay, and they did in the second half. So, you know, we go back to the drawing board and we have to get going again for next week.
Well, there's Sam. We'll leave it for Dennis for a bit later. But we'll move on to the Super League results, round 15. Hull 10, Wakefield 36. Max Wood with 44 tackles, 7 carries for 55 metres. He has been, I think, he's coming back to Warrington. Sipley's
injured. He's been recalled, yes.
So he's been recalled.
Our best player.
Yep. Hull KR 22, Lee 8. York, well, they've fallen off a cliff now. 20, Wigan 72. Catalans 34, Bradford 24. I watched the highlights of this game. It was absolutely dog shit. Castleford 36 to lose 18. St Helens 36. Huddersfield. What's the point? What is the point? 8. It leaves Warrington in a very, very poor Super League table, still in second of all places.
I know, amazing, isn't it?
It just shows the quality this year is absolutely appalling. Bottom is Huddersfield, York to lose, Bradford Hull, Castleford, Catalans Lee. Top 6, Saints, Wakefield, Wigan, Hull KR, as we mentioned, Warrington in second, and now Leeds out in front on 24 points. However, Warrington still have the game in hand against Hull KR. In terms of predictions, our combined tally is 3. Dennis has 2 teams in the right spots. I have 1. Sam now has 0 again, Dennis.
I know. It's absolute
Don't you worry. As Warrington drift down the table, that'll be putting me in the right place.
You know, over recent years, I do watch the odd game other than the Warrington game. I've found myself watching less and less this year. It's been absolutely abominable. I don't know if you do you find that? Do you watch it anywhere else? Any other games?
I don't watch any of it. No, I'm sorry. It depresses me. I've got to get up in the morning and get myself on the front foot. And when I get up, the Super League's on it. I mean, and then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the NRL comes on. The contrast now is just the production. Everything is just, we're talking about gaps. The gap has widened.
Mm. Yes. And I was going to say, did either of you catch Origin 2? That was a spectacular
match
at MCG with however 80-odd thousand people there. It might even have been more. I can't remember now. Mm. And just an absolute spectacular production. That is the word. That is the right word. It's vibrant. It's exciting. It's entertainment, isn't it? Something you want to watch.
Just going back to the Burgess, I cut it out of the bit, but they asked him about how you would stop Sivo in the corner at the end of that interview. And Burgess said, I wouldn't know, I wasn't a winger.
Yeah.
And I thought, but you are the coach.
Mm. Oh, I see. I see what you've done there. Yeah.
Which I thought was a bit odd.
You can only coach forwards. Mm.
It doesn't bode well, that Perspex cabin they all sit in, do they? And they looked quite confused. They kept going up and looking at them. They're all there in that row, standing. I mean, McNamara's gone to Hull, hasn't he? I bet he's every night he's got his little chalkboard out and he's just plotting what he's going to do next year. Just filling in. Who has not left a job thinking, well, I can just cruise now. Got another. Have you ever known anyone who's got another job lined up that gone, no, 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 I'm here. I'm in this job till the end of the year. I'll be giving it my of course you don't. Human nature. Switch off, don't you? Couldn't give a fuck.
That's what Keir Starmer's going to do for the next month.
Of course he is. Of course he is. He doesn't give a shit. Do you remember when Cameron resigned? He started whistling as he went back inside to number 10. Do you remember that? What? Fucking hell.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
England coach Brian McDermott has named 10 uncapped players in an expanded 30-man performance squad ahead of this year's World Cup. Reigning Man of Steel Jake Connor has earned a recall. Warrington are represented by 4 players in the squad: Ben Curry, Danny Walker, Matty Ashton and injured George Williams.
What's your thoughts on injured George Williams?
Well, honestly, it hasn't... I mean, it's funny at the moment because, you go to the get a coffee here. You know, occasionally I don't read a paper, but it's normally a paper in the coffee shop, and it's just wall to wall now, front to back of the newspapers, just the England squad, just the fear that's in the Australian nation with 78-year-old Ben Curry and an injured George Williams coming over. I mean, it's just they don't know how to cope with this. They don't know how to cope. It's been mentioned in Parliament and.
Parliament there as well.
It's really gonna make the difference. So,
I mean, it has been reported today, as we're doing the podcast, that George Williams will be probably available at the end of August or something like that. So he might be able to get a few games in. What do you think, Sam?
At the end of the day, we've spoke about Williams, good player, but being paid top money, he's not a top player in world terms, is he? If he comes back and he's fit to play for us, will he get in the team? Yes, of course he will. You know, he will make us better.
He'll just get in by a net, won't he?
He'll just get in by a nose. Just get in by a nose.
A neck. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. Any comment, Mr. London? I mean, I was looking at you there a minute ago and I was thinking, do we need to send someone round to resuscitate him? Because he just sort of like slumped against the wall.
Bed. I'm very negative when I'm in bed. I'm much better when I'm in bed.
Yeah. You are, yes.
No, it's a joke. The England team's a joke.
It's a joke. Okay.
Yeah, well, it is when it plays Australia and New Zealand in the Southern Hemisphere. Good luck with that, boys. Good luck with that.
We'll do it all. Everything on our own.
Just missing out on the top three in fourth place is the try-scoring machine that was Joel Monaghan. Why assign the Australian winger for the 2011 season from Canberra? He was initially signed on just a one-year deal, but it quickly became clear that retaining him would be a priority. Monaghan crossed for 30 tries in his debut season, and his scoring prowess propelled Wyatt to the league leader's shield, and he deserved to have got himself a place in that season's dream team as well. 2012 was a continuation of this scoring brilliance, 29 in 31, as he helped Wyatt to win the Challenge Cup, scoring the opening try in the final at Wembley. Wyatt got to Old Trafford 2 in 2012, Monaghan crossing for a try there as well. The following season saw Wyatt and Monaghan make it to Old Trafford once again, on the back of a stunning 31 tries in 30 appearances for the year. One of those 31 came in the grand final, as he got a try for the second year running on the biggest of stages, though the Australian heartbreakingly suffered an injury which forced him off mid-game. If he hadn't picked that up, surely Wyatt could have been crowned champions. Staggeringly, the best was yet to come for Monaghan, as he finished 2014 as Super League's top try scorer for the first time, crossing the whitewash 34 times in the league and getting four in the cup, giving him a quite ridiculous total of 38 for the year, a return that has only ever been bettered by Brian Bevan. 2015 was a quieter year, with a more modest 11 tries in 17 appearances, before he departed for Castleford at the end of the season, with a quite impeccable record of 145 tries in 145 appearances, exactly a try a game. A brilliantly agile winger with remarkable finishing prowess, Monaghan is easily the best winger I have seen at Warrington, and also one of the best wingers Super League has seen. Despite finishing fourth in my countdown, though, he isn't even the highest member of his own family. If I lay here.
Well, Daniel, there with an Australian in number four, Joel Monaghan. Yeah, I mean, what a try scoring record. He knew where the corner was, didn't he? He knew where the corner was. Yeah. I always thought he knew where the corner was, and I always thought Mark Foster, in a lot of ways, was a similar player. Don't know, just he was
really.
Good. Yeah, Fozzie always could get the ball down a lot. He didn't score as many tries, but he had a good pair of hands, Foster, and Monaghan had a great pair of hands. Could have made a good slip fielder, Monaghan. Just there in the right place all the time. And a big, right? We just talked about whether Thulis should be in the squad. But, you know, Monaghan would have towered over Thulis. That's the difference.
Yes.
Just big. Matt King, big. Out. Just big, 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 big. Same as the guy at Leeds at the moment, right on the wing. He just pushed off Papawati like he wasn't there on the weekend.
Yeah, it was I thought it was a nice piece by Daniel. You know, he covered everything off, but he didn't actually get into the facts of why we picked up Monaghan in the first place, because he had a bit of trouble.
Did he?
Yeah, he had a bit of trouble out there, didn't he?
Yeah, it's quite a dog-related episode, this, isn't it?
Really, it is. And actually, although I loved the way that once the Warrington fans had taken to Monaghan, They turned it on its head, didn't they? Whenever he scored, there was a chant of woof, woof, woof.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it was like the way
Cameron, wasn't it, in Prime Minister's Question Time? They all went oink, oink, oink.
Yes. Yeah. Slightly different. Yeah.
Is
slightly
it? Different. Just a different animal, wasn't it?
He stuck his dick in a pig's head or something, wasn't it?
That was like the
but that was a posh bit. That was their ritual, horrible. We're all tossed together.
Wasn't it the ritual in the NRL to do what he did?
I was actually going to say what he ended up doing. We've had some.
Do we need to put an 18 sign or something?
No. We've had some wrong'uns come over to Super League
who've
done some.
I've never noticed.
Who've done some, yeah. And we've always said, oh, no, come and have a game over here. Whereas he wasn't. He was just an idiot, a young idiot, drunk, wasn't he? It was a different type
of... Cameron?
No.
No. Who? What politicians would we have in our team? Wouldn't we have Paddy Ashdown? Wasn't he ex-SAS? Mm. You put him in the halves.
Yes,
we?
He was.
Yeah.
What was that politician from Rochdale, the really huge one?
The one that got done for paedophilia that we...
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh. Sorry, I didn't know about that. Cut that then.
Well, let's have a look at today's mail. Oh, bells. Bells. More bells. Oh, scrap that. Oh, a love letter from Tanya Arnaldo. Oh, lovely. Love you too. What's this? Oh, Samuel, don't tell me you've entered Warrington into the Henley Regatta.
Oh, Ralph, rowing up river with the toft and the oi polloi. Why, forget rugby league. This is the quickest way to get an arted. All we need now is for the lads to get their oars in sync, you know, with a bit of rhythm.
Why, the last time the club showed any rhythm on water, George Williams dropped the locker cup into the Manchester Ship Canal.
Now, steady on there, Ralphie. Rowing is a sport built on discipline, teamwork, and endurance.
Well, that's not what I'm saying, Samuel. I mean, I've endured enough of this season's second half performances.
No, Ralpho, this is about prestige, tradition, mixing with the upper classes.
Upper class? Upper class? Well, we're a scrapyard. The last thing upper class near Warrington was to sell the service at Statham Lodge. And that turned into a buffet in 1976.
Oh, forget the buffet. We've been training on the River Mersey.
Oh, between the Crossfield soap suds and the chemical runoff, that crew will build up more lather than the swingers at the jacuzzi in Latchford.
Fitzy's going to steer the boat. He's the club's cock.
I think so. You mean cox?
No, Ralpho. I got it right the first time. He's a cock.
besides, Samuel, when they shouted drop anchor, I thought Fitzy had taken his earring out.
I've been practising pulling a full length, you know, with a burst of 10 hard strokes.
Oh, Samuel, you dirty old man.
I tell you what, Ralphie, we've been steering it in a perfectly straight line. We've been rowing through those, you know, those little boys all afternoon.
Sorry, Samuel. Are you still referring to the anchored small spear-shaped markers guiding the boats down the River Thames? Ollie and Hayes and Ollie Leyland.
Anyway, Professor Broomhead is joining us on the riverbank to cheer us on.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Samuel. If he falls in, there could be there'd be a big tidal wave.
Well, we're hoping that Harrison and Byrne can row against the current.
Oh, rag and bone my arse. Those two still struggle with the currants in a saurine malt loaf.
I tell you what, Ralphie, this regatta crowd is very sophisticated.
Oh, yes, yes. I saw one fellow, Samuel. He was wearing salmon chinos, deck shoes, without any socks, of course, and a harlequin's top. He looked like he owns 4 garden centres and a tax avoidance scheme. I mean, there's not a pizza twist in sight.
There's also a lovely champagne tent, Ralphie.
Oh, tackle sacks. Oh, the last time Warrington saw this many tents was when the gippos rolled into Vicky Park with the travelling circus. And Stupot Middleton disappeared for 3 days with that woman selling pegs and the knock-off dream catchers.
Well, you think you could predict our seasons by now?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Hey up, Ralphie. Just look at those magnificent swans gliding gracefully down the river.
Oh, you big daft totter. Joe Philbin's just been hit in the face with Luke Yates's oar. I think you'll find that's just his white turkey teeth heading down towards the Thames Barrier.
Oh, my podium dancing. They'll block the river up, Ralphie, all the way back to Tower Bridge.
Oh, well, let's face it, Samuel. It's the only thing we'll dam up this season. You know, what with our leaky left-edge defence. Now, quickly, Samuel. Let's get the lads out of the water. They're completely out of the depth. A lot of less Oxford rowing crew and canapes, and more the log flume at Blackpool Pleasure Beach with a bag of chips.
What a lovely piece of music underneath there. That was lovely.
You've been to the Henley Regatta, have you, Sam?
Not to the regatta, but I was at Henley last year or the year before. Yeah, we had a lovely little mooch down the river.
Yeah, yeah. It's got any turns?
Didn't notice any teeth.
No. Is that it then? That's all you've got on that?
Yeah,
7.5 minutes.
I have,
and that's all you've got. I know it was.
I just played the opening music. I was sort of drifting away, thinking, "Is this got what it's going to be? We're going to have a bit of culture."
Mm.
And then a letter came from Tanya. How do we say her?
Tanya Arnaldo.
That's her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she going to make an appearance one day?
Well, she could well do. Rob, come on, up your game. We'll have to. He's not giving us enough there. We're going to have to go a bit spicier.
Mm.
No. That was nice. I enjoyed that.
I did. At one point, I used to do a lot of punting. I always thought that was it was always a good first date, go on a punt. Take them any young men out there, take them for a row. It's not, but the main one is picnic. Say your tenets. That apparently is the number one word that women like the most. They don't actually like the picnic. The picnic, there's a lot of sand in the picnic, or you put your
sand.
There is in Australia
on the beach.
A lot of sand.
Oh, you're going to the beach.
Or you're in a field somewhere, then you notice there's a cow pat next to you after you've sat down and you've laid everything out, etc. But apparently, ladies love nothing more than to go to work and for them to, what did you do on the weekend, Doreen? Oh, Brian took me for a picnic. Yeah. Apparently, it's the aftermath.
It conjures up romantic oldie worldy
picnic. Yeah. And rowing's very similar. Rowing, you get you find a boat somewhere.
Brian and Doreen are not exactly the names you'd hear of the modern day, are they? Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tickledad.
There's a black fella, a Pakistani, and a Jew in a nightclub. What a fine example of an integrated community.
Welcome back to Tackle Gags, the section where perception and reality collide, and reality usually loses out on appeal. And there's never been a week that goes by in rugby league without some kind of bollocks. So that's where I'm going to start. This week is Sky Sports once again demonstrated its commitment to confusing viewers by failing to put a green card graphic on the screen when a player goes off. Apparently, fans are expected to know who's missing by using telepathy or counting down moving objects in real time. 10 minutes. Never mind. You're listening.
Sorry, that was my daughter ringing me from England. She got her degree result today. She got a distinction.
Oh. What for?
English.
English? Oh, I say. Very posh. Should we go into a posh school? That's costing you a fortune. Yeah, they don't put a green card, do they, on the screen? I find that really annoying. You can put a red and a yellow, but you can't put a green one. Just found that slightly frustrating. Anyway, this week we're probably going to have drinks breaks with the hot weather, which seems rather sensible, especially if we're stopping this game for Captain's Challenge every 5 minutes. So why not embrace it and let's forget water and bring the ice cream van on? That's probably going to be good for the kids to shout at. Nothing says elite sport like a prop demolition a 99. So, and Kendall Mintcake could be sucking on a Calibra to give him a bit of a brain freeze. But the main topic this week is something psychologists call the Rashomon effect, named after the Japanese film where everyone witnesses the same event but somehow remembers it completely differently. Now, take Sam Burgess after Warrington's latest defeat. According to Sam, the game was decided by moments. Now, we've had this before, haven't we? Moments. Not the lack of go forward, not the attack, you know, like somebody trying to assemble an IKEA bloody flat pack furniture thing and nobody knowing what they're doing. No, it's just moments when it comes to Sam Burgess. Meanwhile, every other fan are just saying, no, Sam, we're just a bit shit. I just wanted to bring this contrast out. I've mentioned him before, but Brad Arthur at Leeds win comfortably 34-6, and Brad comes out disappointed with the last 6 minutes, 6 to 8 minutes. He's quite disappointed with it, says they let the game go. Only in rugby league can one coach badly see the fine margins, while another nearly 30 points and sees room for improvement. So I think, in this sporting equivalent, what I want to touch on this tackle bags is, are coaches watching the same game as the rest of us? Or are these post-match interviews simply an out-of-body experience fueled by disappointment, media training, and a desperate hope that nobody re-watches the bloody game? So what do you think? Do you think, we've got a real contrast?
Well, it's media training, isn't it? It's all about media training now, so they don't really... They know how to answer questions. And definitely Burgess must have had some media training because I have no
really?
Idea. Really? Well, what the fuck is he seeing? What is he seeing to think it was moments? I have a question. I am worried, actually, that the next coach that comes in has got a big job on his hand because he's one of the boys, Burgess. He's developed this one of the boys attitude. And I was just thinking, if Brad Arthur came into Warrington, let's imagine Brad Arthur had never been at Leeds, and our next coach was Brad Arthur, would they turn against him like Powell? Would it all be too hard?
Would he
separate himself too much from... And I just wonder at the moment, whether he's just one of the lads and it's going to be very hard for someone to come in. Reminds me a bit of when Cullen was in charge, and then we had that, you know, he's out drinking with him in Stockton Heath and all this kind of stuff, and then Smith had to come in and really crack the whip. I think we're going to have the same issue with our next coach. I think we could find that.
I think you've mentioned it for a few years though now, haven't you, Rob, that these aren't your words, but if I can sum it in my way, they've got quite a good team, but they never get past quite good because to get to excellent or outstanding or Wigan level over years and years, you've got to be at that level week in, week out, not just one week in three. And I don't doubt that they're working hard at training, and I don't doubt that they work hard when they go on the pitch. But the difference between a top four or top five team and the winners is that next level of mentality, and that's the coach and the backroom staff and the players and the whole club, isn't it? And you do wonder sometimes whether we're quite, well, we're not quite there, otherwise we'd have won it, wouldn't we?
The difference for me, though, is that he sat there in the other part of the interview and he says he's quite relaxed about it. And, you know, at the end of the day, we were really soundly beaten. And then the other coach is still, like, annoyed and so on. And it goes back to what Rob's saying there is it's like they like a coach so far, but they're not willing to change some other areas of the club. That means that, you know, you have to take this hard line.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or is this the inevitable urge to try?
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two games to predict before the podcast returns. First up, another home game this Thursday night, with the visitors being Catalans. Kickoff is 8 o'clock. Kids get in for a quid. Then it's time for the Magic Weekend. Why I'm making the short trip to Everton's impressive new Hill Dickinson Stadium, where they'll take on Lee Leopards. The match is the third fixture on Saturday's programme, starting at 5:30. Right. Well, all our monies are down, boys. We're losing money left, right and centre. Don't bet. Just don't bet. It's just that is the key, isn't it, to take away from
Well, I think, you know, I'm going to carry on my bet. I think Warrington are going to bounce back against Catalan, so I'd like to have a fiver on that. And I do think Liam Byrne has probably listened to some of the criticism this week and he's probably going to take it on the chin. So I'm going to put another £10 on Liam Byrne as well.
Right. You're going to have those collectively on both competitions.
Yes,
We'll double up. We have to double up this week, boys.
So do we?
I think that's the way we're going. So you're going to go Warrington against Lee as well, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Right, okay. All right. I'll go for two away wins. I'll go for Catalans and Lee. And I'll have a tenner on both. And I'll have £50 on Matty Ashton in both.
Interesting. I will go win one, lose one. I'll go win at home this Thursday with a slightly patched up team and lose away at Magic. And I can't not go for Josh Thewlis with a fiver. Fiver on everything.
So what are we thinking then, boys? Are we thinking, I mean, apart from the bets, are we going to beat Catalans? I like I said, I think they are very strong in certain areas, but I don't think they can defend.
Yes.
So we'll come good again, will we, Sam? You think we'll get that win?
Well, I'm genuinely concerned about what team we're putting out, because I think we do struggle in the pack, and I think our success has come when the pack have played as a unit and made very few errors.
Max Wood's back, though, isn't he, Sam, as well, into
Max,
that mix?
Max Wood's back, but as much as we don't think Yates is big enough to be top level, I feel we've missed him.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, for the minutes he does and sort of glue, if you like, that holds it together. So we're without him, we're without Mr. Teeth, we are without Sipley.
What is Sipley's diagnosis? Is it just short term, or
a bit of a, I think he said he got a twinge of his, I saw it where Burgess said he thought we'd rushed him back a bit too soon.
Yeah,
and so they were going to give him a little bit longer. So Wood's back. I don't know whether what's the length of time Stone's out for.
I'd forgotten about him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Holroyd might come in. I mean, no size there, but plenty of plenty of energy.
All right. Yeah, no positives in any of this.
Well, I think the positive actually, Dennis, the positive actually might be the weather forecast is for 8 o'clock on Thursday to be 31 degrees, feels hydration like 37. Break. Yeah, feels like 37. Humidity 48%. Actually, smaller, lighter, quicker players, if we keep hold of the ball, might actually win the game.
We've done 186 podcasts, and I have a funny feeling this is in the top five negativity pods.
Really? Oh,
maybe not. No.
I think we've done lots.
We've had worse.
Maybe
we? This year's most right negative.
Oh yeah, this is. Yeah. Yeah, it's mostly been you. If you run that AI statistic, you know Sam was 69%. I think you're 89% negative. Rob, what do you see in Catalan? I mean, I like your your insight into that play with a nice hair.
Yeah,
he's
got great hair. So, yeah, so they'll score points, Catalans, because they are big.
Yeah.
They'll scatter us.
Big.
I noticed against Bradford, they scored a couple of tries where they just barged over. It's like, I couldn't give a fuck. And they just went straight through the middle. So we are going to struggle. It could get very messy. The longer this game goes on and the longer they stay in the, you know, in the game... that won't help. I think we're going to lose. I don't think we're going to quite get there. I just thought Leeds showed the blueprint of how to beat us. And I would think...
I think the home advantage was the only reason I was going to go with Warrington, really.
Fartape.
So, no, I don't think... I think we might... I think the wheels are starting to come off. And I think Lee will be up for us against at the Magic Weekend. I think they're due to beat us, right? They've got players back.
Mm.
They did lose though, didn't they? Did they lose last week? What did they put? They've lost away at Hull KR. That's quite respectable. 22-8 at Hull KR's not the end of the world. Don't know how long they were in that game for. So yeah, I think
they're in the game at half time, and then Hull KR scored a couple of quick tries after the break.
Okay. Yeah, so a couple of sticky weeks. A couple of sticky weeks coming
sticky
up.
Sticky weeks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Okay, that's it. So, as America celebrates its 250th anniversary of independence, it's a ugly doggly from me. A howdy from Sam.
All the best.
And a yee-haw from Dennis.
We're seeing you.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Go and answer your door. I think Andy Burnham's at it.
Fuck off.